Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
And it's Ask Me Anything here on Lunchtime Live, where every Friday afternoon we put your questions to people from interesting backgrounds or maybe working in different or unusual careers and professions. And this Friday I am chatting to Father David Fard. Good afternoon, Father. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good. Do you like to be called Father David Vard? Are you Father? Are you what?
David is fine.
Just
yeah.
David.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
Grand. Yeah.
Is that what your friends and family parishioners?
Yeah. My mother calls me Dave when she likes me, so David is good. Yeah,
it's like when you're a child and they're shouting down the hall
name,
at you.
Yeah, yeah.
Loads of questions coming in from our listeners today. Look, if you want to send us in a WhatsApp or a voice note, it's 087 1400 106 is the number. I suppose the first thing just before I come to listeners' questions, David, is that I imagine people comment on your age a lot, do they?
Yeah, it's not necessarily the first thing they say to me, but it comes up eventually in the conversation. God, you're very young. You know, why do you want to be a priest? And that could be like in a quick, fleeting meeting with someone. I'm like, we don't have the time to go into why I want to be.
Yeah. Well, we've loads of time today. So well, you're 32.
32, yeah.
Yeah, you're from County Kildare, isn't
it?
Newbridge,
County Kildare, yeah.
Yeah. Where are you?
I'm in Strabb Valley in County Leash.
Oh, right, you're
home
in Leash.
Of Electric Picnic.
I was just going to say, took the words out of it. You a fan of EP?
Yeah, I was only appointed to Strabb Valley in August, so I went to my first EP just this past September. And
brilliant,
it was
yeah.
The weekend, the weather was fabulous, yeah, so I'm really hoping this year.
Didn't get to go with tonsillitis, but
yeah,
we'll probably see you there this year.
Hopefully,
so,
yeah.
Did you always want to be a priest?
No. I went to Lourdes at 16, and I grew up in the church where the negativity and the bad headlines, and I said, listen, I'll do the communion, the confirmation bit, but then I'm done.
Yeah.
So I was asked to go to Lourdes by my principal of secondary school at 16. And then I realised, oh, actually, these people aren't too bad. You know, it's not the big, bad Catholic church that I was told about.
Yeah.
And that got me thinking about my own faith. And actually, what do I believe? And could I possibly believe in this God? And so I started going back to Mass. My mother would come with me. A sister would come with me and start talking to priests. And the idea of maybe I could be a priest came into my head. So I entered at 18.
So that trip to Lourdes, that school trip changed everything.
Yeah.
David.
The principal coming into our class asking me, would I go? I don't think he knew exactly what he was doing when he asked me.
Yeah, didn't think. And like, what was it about that trip that changed?
It was really just seeing the church like I'd never seen it before. Like, and getting to meet people who had faith, who brought people of every age to Lourdes who were sick, who maybe going through a bad time, they want to take time out. And everyone was there with this great faith. And I was like, why are these people happy? Why do these people have faith? What is this faith that they have? And getting to talk to priests as well on the trip was a real eye-opener.
Any priests or nuns in the family?
No, I'm the first.
You're the first,
I'm the first. I don't know. I say to my nephew and my nieces, you know, I might not be the last priest, but they look at me as to say, yeah, you are.
Yeah, you are. Okay. Listen, loads of messages coming in. The first voice note, David, is from Stephanie.
I'm a Pentecostal, and for us, our ministers and priests and bishops or whatever, they can all get married and set down and have families, I suppose. How did you feel about having to give that up? With becoming a priest, is that something that weighs on you, or was that an easy decision that you had to make for God?
Good question.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't an easy decision. But when you enter into seminary where we train, I had 7 years. So I think I had 6 years before I ever had to make a promise of celibacy. So I had 6 years to think about it. You're given a spiritual director, you're given a human growth counsellor, you're given lots of people to talk to it about and work it through, and your family and friends. So it wasn't an easy decision. It wasn't a decision I made overnight.
Yeah.
A decision that and even before going to seminary, I had 2 years of thinking of it. So it definitely was a decision that I came to. Celibacy is very much part of my life. And, you know, I think in any career, and anything that you do in any walk of life, you make sacrifices. Mm. You give things up. Yes, celibacy is a big thing, but it wasn't something that, you know, was an easy decision or something that just came to overnight.
Yeah, you'd accepted it. And you had the time, I suppose, that if it was going to weigh on you too much, you had the time to change your mind.
And I could have put pause on my formation or could put pause on anything at any stage and said, actually, I would need another year before I make any decision. So.
Okay. We've another voice note in, David, from Adam.
I was just wondering what you think the role the church plays in younger people's lives nowadays, as a younger person yourself?
Good. Yeah, it's a very good question, Adam. I think the church, no matter how old you are, always has a role to play. And, you know, we could diminish it down to just being, you know, the person who baptizes your children or the communions and the confirmations and the weddings. But, like, you know, my church has a message of hope. It has a message of peace. It has a message of good news. And I think no matter how old you are, what the church says is always going to be good, or is always going to be important. And, you know, in a time of crisis especially, you might need those moments of solitude in a church. You might need someone to talk to. And a person from a faith background might be the person that you turn to. And I think that's good. And I think, you know, a belief in a higher power, whether we call that higher power God or Jesus Christ, is always going to be a good thing.
Okay. 087-1400-106 is the questions, or is the number, I should say, if you have any questions. Listener wondering if we can please ask Father David, what exactly is involved with priest training? What do you learn and how long does it take?
That's a very good question.
Yeah, what is, like,
yeah, so
college, effectively, I suppose.
Yeah, so, so I did 7 years.
Yeah.
I think it takes 8 years now. But I did a BA in Maynooth University, like a regular Joe Soap. I just went to the seminary at night. So I did history and philosophy, and then you do theology studies, and then you also do additional studies in homiletics, so like how to give a homily, how to do talking. You have spiritual counselling. You have all these additional things on top of, and, you know, learning to say mass, I think, is squeezed into the last couple of months of seminary.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's like, and what happens in that? Like, is that, you know, I'm thinking back of public speaking lessons and presentations that you do in college. So is that it?
Yeah. And like they give you exercises on how to do public speaking, and they give you opportunities to write homilies and to deliver homilies or deliver talks in front of your classmates, and you get feedback. And a lot of it, you know, we do retreats throughout the year. We take time out. We learn about the liturgy, the life of a priest, or the movement of the year, and how, like, Easter and Christmas and how all that falls into place.
In your intake, were you the youngest?
Yes.
Yeah, by a long shot?
No, I think there were three other lads who were 21. So I was 18, they were 21. And then we had, I think, nearly every decade up until a fella in his 60s.
Okay. Do you remember the day before you went in?
Yeah. So the week I entered, I had my debs on a Monday, leaving cert results on a Wednesday, and I went to seminary on a Sunday.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah.
Right.
So it was a busy week.
That was quite a week.
It was a busy week.
So you went from the debs to the leave at cert night out.
Yeah. To going to seminary on a Sunday, and then having to wake up in seminary wondering, do I get enough CAO points to be a Maynooth?
Yeah. The CAO, the points count for?
Well, I wanted to do a degree. I wanted to do an arts degree, so I needed the points to do the arts degree in history and philosophy, yeah.
And did you do that? But you didn't do that first. You stayed on in the seminary.
I was in the seminary doing that.
Yeah. Oh, doing it as well. Oh, apologies. Yeah. Okay, yeah. I get you now. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We have another voice note in from Rosemary.
I just like to ask the priest a question in relation to female priests. I'm a member of the Church of Ireland, and we have a female rector who is married, has two little girls, and she's doing a wonderful job, and she has quite a number of female colleagues, one of whom is even a bishop. And the Catholic Church are crying out for priests, and there's women there who'd love to be priests. So I'd just like his take on that and see, does he think it'll ever happen in his lifetime? Thank you.
Yes, thanks very much. I don't know, is my honest answer.
Would you like to see it?
Would I like to see it? I don't know. I think it would be a huge change in Ireland, especially, as well with married clergy. I don't know what Rome is going to do. I don't want to be here saying that Rome should or shouldn't. I don't want to get in trouble with my bishop. So it would take a huge shift, I think. And there's deep theological reasons as well. It's not just a case of, I don't know, at surface levels, but there's deep theological reasons as to why there's an all-male priesthood in the Catholic Church. I don't want to be controversial. I think, yes, women are fantastic leaders in our church. I think if I didn't have women in my congregation, I wouldn't have a congregation. And they are absolutely fantastic, and they will keep the show on the road, really. And I think there's a job, and, you know, there's all our talents are welcome in the church, whether we all have to be priests or we all have to be saying the mass or being the bishops. Mm. I don't think so. I think there's a role for every one of us. But yeah, again, my church would be empty if it wasn't for the women, or even my mother's faith, you know, get me to Christmas mass when I was a teenager.
Okay. Another WhatsApp in from a listener who's wondering, are priests able to go to the pub, or is that a bit of a taboo?
No, I went to the pub last night.
Yeah.
Went to a comedy gig. It was great crack.
Yeah.
No, it's not a taboo.
Have a few pints?
No, I was driving. So I was on the Guinness Zero, but it was grand. It was lovely. Yeah.
But you can have a few drinks.
Yeah, of course.
Can you become a priest later in life if your partner's passed away, asks this texter.
Yes, you can. The day I was ordained, there was a man ordained down in Cork who had two daughters and his wife had passed away. And I think a month later, he walked his daughter down the aisle and then did a quick dress change and did the mass. And married his daughter, yeah.
So, and does that happen frequently?
It's becoming more frequent. So I think back 50 years ago would have been the norm that you were 18 and went to priesthood.
Yeah.
Went into seminary. But now it's maybe lads in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s going in after having a career. Or
maybe lived a life and want to change direction.
Lived a life.
Yeah.
Know.
And then want to change and live a different, you know. Yeah.
Or their partner had passed away. Their wife had passed away.
Okay.
Yeah.
087 1400 106 is the number. Texter wondering here, David, do you ever have doubts or regrets?
I think sometimes when I'm in situations that are very, very difficult and people are turning to me looking for answers, I'm like, why is it me?
Yeah.
I don't have the answers to every possible question or solution. I don't have solutions. So I think those are the moments. And when difficult things do happen, I think, yes, I do have doubts about why did I become a priest? Why is it me? Why would God want this? But I think doubt is very healthy in faith. I think if I was certain the whole time, I'd be very arrogant and it wouldn't be faith. It wouldn't be really real. It wouldn't be tested. It wouldn't be lived. It wouldn't, that wouldn't be faith to me if I didn't have doubts.
Listeners wondering, when you cast your mind back to that week where you had your Debs and your Leaving Cert results, what reaction did you get from people when you told them and your friends at the time you were going to be a priest?
I gathered most of my friends. I told a very good friend of mine first who was a born again Christian, thinking they might understand a bit more, and told him. He was great. And then I told a lot of my friends, gathered them together in summer and got them drunk and told them and got their best reaction when they were a little bit tipsy, and I got their honest reaction, and they're all very happy for me. And I think at that stage of our life, we had just finished our Leaving Cert. Some were going off to college to study rocks. Some were doing nursing. Some were doing, David's being a priest. That's fine, you know?
Yeah. You got the raw answer.
I got the raw answer, yeah.
Yeah. Somebody's wondering here as well, do people often come to you looking for guidance? Is it something that you're trained in helping with?
Yeah, so people do come to me looking for guidance or have questions or concerns, or maybe they just want prayer said. And I think the best type of guidance that we got in seminary was that we had someone to go talk to. So when people come talk to me, I've learned from being the person on the other side and going to talk to someone else and maybe using some of those skills that I saw being given to me and being used with me, I can mirror back to them. And some people just want to talk and just be listened to, and they don't expect me to say anything or to give any answer.
Yeah.
They just want that space to be listened to.
Listeners asking, I'm just wondering, do your personal views, are they something that you have to give up or maybe align with church teachings? Would you continue to believe in the ideas that maybe contradict church teaching? This texter's asking, for instance, like about homosexuality. Is it hard to park your own thoughts on things?
No, because I believe that God called David Varad. He didn't call David Varad to become a carbon copy of Father X. And he called me to be a priest, and he called me, with all my faults and failures, beliefs, and ultimately I believe in what the church teaches about Christ, and that he was the Messiah and that he came and has good news and he founded this beautiful church that we call the Catholic Church. And in other things, yes, I do struggle, or I have gone off to educate myself, and sometimes I agree, sometimes I don't. I have conversations with friends who disagree with me, and sometimes they've changed my mind, sometimes they haven't. But I think it's very important to realise that he's called me as me.
Louise is wondering, could the priest please tell us what's the best and worst part of being a priest? And if he could make one change, what would it be? Thanks.
The best part. Yeah. I think the best part is no day is the same. So I'm never bored.
Right.
Every day is different. The worst part, I mean, it is the, without being dark. It is those moments where there's tragedy.
Of course it is, yeah. And someone's, grief.
Yeah,
you're,
grief.
And you're there. You're probably often the first port of call for people. Yeah. Times of grief.
Yeah, and they're turning to me looking for answers, and I can't possibly have an answer. So that's definitely the worst part, yeah.
If you could change one part.
If I could change one part. Better uniform, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Even just as simple as that.
Yeah, just simple, more comfortable. I don't know, yeah.
So you kind of always have to...
I wear it when I'm doing priest things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In work mode.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah. Well, listen, it's a real pleasure to chat to you today.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you for coming in and joining us here and Ask Me Anything here in Lunchtime Live. That is Father David Vard.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.